It was back in 1993 that Italian consolata sister Eugenia Bonetti first started seeing African women standing on the roadsides waiting for clients, a common sight around many of Italy's larger towns and cities. Sister Eugenia had previously spent over 2.5 decades working as a missionary in Africa, and she was shocked to see how many young girls, mainly Nigerians but also from other African nations, working as prostitutes back in her hometown of Turin. But then one of these girls, Maria, turned up at the Caritas Centre where she worked and followed her to Mass that evening, an event that would profoundly change Eugenia's life and challenge all her ideas about religious ministry and mission. In short, she says, Maria became her catechist, helping her understand the complex routes by which so many women and girls end up trafficked from places across the globe to be bought and sold, beaten and raped, and end up working the streets of our so-called civilized countries. Today, there are some 27 million victims of a global trafficking industry with a turnover of around $32 billion a year. For the past 2 decades, Sister Eugenia has been in the front line of the Catholic Church's efforts here in Italy to combat this trade in human beings, to break the chains of this modern form of slavery, and to help trafficked women regain a sense of hope and dignity in their shattered lives.
I think that the big success stories in these 20 years is to be able to unite many forces to work together. Networking has been our cry since the very beginning. When we started dealing with these women, we really felt the need that alone we cannot achieve so much, because criminal organizations are so well organized internationally and transnationally. So we said we need to be the same. But to be very well organized, you really need to work in communion, and not in competition, in communion with other agencies. So now you need to work with the policemen, with the law enforcement. You need to work with the government. You need to work with the parishes. You need to work with the families back at home. You need to work with young women in a very special way, offering them protection, assistance. And in that case, we really needed to have shelters, to have homes, because they had no place where to stay when they were running away. And that was really something that, especially in the year 2000, the great year of the Jubilee, now we had many congregations, they wanted to open the holy doors of their convents. And they did it. And we had several communities started during the Jubilee where all over Italy, we could really receive these women, welcoming them, helping them to heal the deep wounds they carry within themselves after the ordeal of being sold and bought like commodities. So now we opened these communities and we started working together. There was need to help the congregations to network in a best way in order to protect these young women running away. Because if there was a risk in Rome for a girl, we could send this to another community because we were in communion with all the communities and we could really save a lot of cases, a lot of life. So now, since we started dealing with this, nowadays we can count with 250 sisters of 80 congregations, different congregations. This is our beauty of working together, because even though we come from different congregations, different backgrounds, different realities, but we have the same aim: to save the dignity of these young women, to protect them, to help them to regain their life. So now we have about 100 family life communities, because we want our communities to become a family, not to be a shelter where they just receive food, a shelter, a place to sleep. No, they have to find the joy of being in a community, being in communion with other people, with the sisters who are taking care of them, with the other lay people who are working with us. Many times we have pregnant women We have mothers with children. Our families, communities nowadays are full of children because they are the children saving the mothers. So our aim was really to network. And it is precisely to this great network that we were able to create, not only in Italy, but even in countries of origin and the countries of transit, because we have sisters working in different parts of the world. That is why we really believe that sisters can be a great response. They can give a great response to this trafficking in human beings, because if it is a country of origin, the sisters are taking care of schools, of parishes, of youth groups, so they can speak about this, they can inform about this. And if we are a country of transit or destination, we have communities that can open the doors to welcome them. So that is why we really work together, and this is our greatest achievement, because we become a force. If we are united, we can speak with one voice and we can tell the government we have done our part as sisters, as church, as member of a community, but we need you to do your part in a special way, in a legal way, because you can help them in many ways, but if you cannot give them legality, what can you do?
The European Union has introduced new legislation, yes, hasn't it, which it needs is. To be implemented by the governments. Yes. How important is this in the battle to stamp out this trafficking of human beings?
Oh, it is very important, because it is no longer a single government dealing with it, but now if this legislation, we really hope it is going to be implemented by 2013, now we can rely on a great force, so that if there is a trafficker that leaves Italy and goes to Germany, if Germany has the same legislation as in Italy, he can be caught up and can be prosecuted, even though now he had trafficked women in Italy. And if there is a young girl that is brought to another country, but we have the same legislation, now this young girl can be rescued, even though now she passed maybe through another country. It is very, very important to have a unique legislation so that we can really work for prevention, for prosecution, and from protection of these victims.
There's much greater awareness as well now, isn't there, about the problem of trafficking of people and trying to help particularly these women who end up in such difficult situations. And yet the trafficking phenomenon seems to just keep growing and growing.
Yes.
Sometimes it must seem like you're fighting really an uphill battle.
It is very true. But there is one point that we keep on now denouncing, but there is very little done in that regard. That is the demand. We have done a lot, you know, to help women, to protect women, to rescue women. But very little nowadays is done by the society, by the government, and by the church, you know, to help the demand, to reduce the demand.
How do you do that? I mean, people talk about it, prostitution is the oldest profession, something
yes.
that's always been with us. How do you go about tackling the demand side of things?
That is, you know, a big problem that we find ourselves also to lose this battle, because it seems that there is no will to tackle the demands. And if they tackle, you know, the situation of legalizing prostitution, of reducing prostitution, moving women from the street into hidden places, but we never tackle the demands. So now, you don't solve the problem if you don't tackle this demand. And the demand, it's a strong issue that nobody wants to give attention to. We keep on fighting because we know that these people are also part of a Christian community. These clients, 90%, are Catholics. Now we are in a Catholic country. I don't mean they are really practicing their Christian values, but they have been baptized. So what do we do to help these people, you know, to realize that they are really destroying the life of these young people simply because they think that is they have their private life and they can do what they want? They are not allowed to destroy the life of a young person that has been put there there by traffickers simply for money and for somebody to be used and misused and after throw it away. Now we really have to, but we are not yet able to tackle with this. I remember when the bishops of Nigeria, in the year after the year 2000, we invited the Nigerian sisters to come and see. They came. I brought them on the streets. They were crying to see the situation of so many of their young people that since a few days ago they were in their schools, in their parishes, in their choir groups, and now to meet them on the street. They went back. They spoke with their bishops. They gave a report and they told them, you must do something. You have to say something. So the bishop said, what can we do? Said, at least write a pastoral letter on human trafficking, on the dignity of women. They did it. And in the year 2002, Archbishop Onayekan, the president, that was the president of the bishops' conference in Nigeria, they came to Italy. And we asked him to come and to present us, you know, as religious, because we were working already with the Nigerian sisters about this letter. He came. At the end, we remained all speechless when he ended up saying, if this problem humiliates my country because of thousands of our young people on your street, you Italian people should feel even more humiliated by the fact that if there are so many of our young people on your streets, it's because you have so many thousands and millions of clients that demand their service on the street. So even since then, now it is sad to say there is no attention given to the demand. We really have to speak about this. Instead, what we can see, even from media, it is only the body of women. But we women should feel indignant. We can no longer tolerate this, but we really have to change mentality. And we really hope our battle is this nowadays. We have to start working with schools, with education, trying to educate our young people, because the young people are more sensitive to this, helping them the meaning of respect, the meaning of relationship, the meaning of dignity of every person, because we can no longer allow these young people to be at the mercy of anybody simply because you pay.
You and your sisters, you run the centres, the family centres, as you say, for these women. You also work in the deportation centre, don't mm-hmm. you? You go mm-hmm. there every Saturday to help the mm-hmm. women who are being sent back.
Yes.
You describe this as perhaps the hardest part of the job that you
it
do.
It is. It is because it seems that there is no way out. When you enter that centre and you see all these young women there for days, weeks, months, before it was 30 days, after it became 60 days, after it became 6 months, now it becomes 18 months. This is really a crime against the life and the future of these young people, simply because they are considered criminals because they have no documents. They have been brought there without documents, without permits to be in Italy. And these young girls are there without doing anything for the whole night, just to think what is going to happen to me tomorrow, just wasting months, the most beautiful months of their youth, of their life, worse than being in a prison. Because at least in a prison there are programs to upgrade also their culture, their education. There is nothing. They are just there being given a bed to sleep and something to eat.
What can you offer these women? What do you give them when you go there each week?
When we go there, first of all, we just meet them. We talk with them. We greet them. Now, we want them to feel that there is somebody that cares, that is going there just free of charge because they are important to us. And we understand their suffering, and we want to suffer together with them their situation. And what we offer with them, it is our friendship, our listening. You know, sometimes they cry, sometimes they shout, and they need, you know, to have somebody to talk to. But moreover, at a certain moment, after having this approach, now what they appreciate most is praying together. And the prayer, singing, listening to the word of God, that is healing the strong suffering that they carry within themselves. It gives them hope for the future. Because without hope is a terrible life. But now, in being with them, showing them our love and our interest, they learn that they are still important. They can still hope. And I remember one day a young sister, because we had sisters belonging to different congregations and different countries. We had a young sister from Nigeria that used to meet these young Nigerians. She had a beautiful approach. Once her mother general asked her, "But sister, what do you do in Ponte Galeria? Tell us your experience." And she said, "Mother, in Ponte Galeria we do what our mother Mary did under the cross. She could not change what was happening to that son, but now she was there, suffering together with that son on the cross. So this is what we do when we go to Ponte Galeria." And I think that that is a really a theological answer. Even though you cannot change anything, but your presence, your attention, your care is important. You know, we want to be women that it's very close to other women who are suffering because of this terrible situation, not only of trafficking in human beings, but also because of migration. They run away hoping to get, you know, a better life and a better future. And they find in this situation that they are considered criminals simply because they don't have a document. And we are trying to work even with some members of parliament, of some members of the Senate. We want to bring them there. We want them to see in order to be able to judge if this legislation needs to be changed. And this legislation must change, because we can no longer tolerate in a country like Italy, that we think that we are a civilized society, to still have these places is a great humiliation.
My thanks there to Consolata Sister Eugenia Bonetti.